Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ilona Europa, Accent on LA Talk Radio. LA Talk Radio, London audition. So I think most people understand that I am right now in London for almost 1 year. And I still have a pleasure to interview people from all around the world, thanks to Zoom. But today, same situation. We are talking to very, very smart, very unusual man. His name is Michał Dybowski, who lives in Poland and also in UK. Yes? Hi, Michał.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Hello, Ilona. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I am like almost jealous because I know that Warsaw is doing a little bit better when it comes to Corona, and you had a good instinct to move back to Warsaw before coronavirus start hating everybody or hating on us.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that. But what is the most exciting for me to introduce you to all listeners and people who watch our show on Facebook and in different platforms, that you are man of so many traits in a way. You are highly educated. We'll be talking slowly and slowly, describing people that one gentleman can do all. So that's why I'm so proud of you to have you as my guest. So I will start introducing you. You are chief executive of an officer and NST, that agency. What is this agency?
An agency, the NST, New Science Technology. What it is, it's going back to my first studies that I completed in IT. It sort of grew and came on the borders of trying to decide if I want to go to the natural science or artificial sciences. And the company that I started recently, the brand was established in 2006, but the company behind it, I've started very recently in this year, 2020. And it was a response to the COVID, but I'll go back to that later in a moment. But the origins of NST agency was, I couldn't decide really when I was still in high school if I want to go for the biology and genetics or the IT and then burning, for example, some processors and that kind of stuff without harming the life form of life, if I want to experiment. So this is the problem I had at the time. I decided to go to the IT way, despite the fact on my A-levels I was passing the genetics. So, you know, it was the last point turn that I decided to go towards IT. And then from then on, I was looking on engineering, on the science, in the form of how biology, biotechnics, bionature could be adopted into the IT infrastructure to help us to live the better way, and how to engage the artificial intelligence, the AI itself, and all that computing power to support humans in their daily lives and tasks. And this is the sort of assumption of all I've gathered over the years of working in different businesses, moving back and forth from medicine through IT, through aviation, through defense, through lots of it. We get to it, but then the NST agency, NST agency actually came to life and became like a place where people who got ideas, they can come to us, and then we sit down with them. We analyze the idea, their dream, the venture they want to do, and then we tell them, okay, is it feasible? Is it actually possible to make by, and then they decide, can you do it yourself? Do you need some extra funding? And then we've got a portfolio of investors who want to support such ideas, and then we match them together. So we are like a hub for startups, especially startups from Europe wanting to go to the US and then from the UK going to Poland due to Brexit. Obviously, loads of companies in the UK, they are looking the ways how to get back to Europe. So our role is trying to combine those sort of three different places. So UK, Europe, and then US. Recently, we've been invited to join also the forums in Australia. So it will be very interesting to go that far. But this is literally what NST agency does in the different fields. Now, obviously, there's plenty of them. We have different specialists in different fields. But what we do, we're trying to see what people want to do and then trying to help them to write the best business plan, to say, and then trying to match the environment to put that project in, find funding, and help them to go to the project so they can literally achieve what they want. For some, there are some dreams they want to actually realize and conclude on. So this is our role. So we're trying to make people dreams happen for life.
And obviously, your clients, past clients, they need to have, I would say, simple money to talk to you about this, because dreams are dreams, but you need to have your financials in order, or really you are the person who will make the order happen for them, that they understand what they can afford, where they can go. So that's probably the logic. So, you know, I would like to read a little bit what people are saying about you. You're highly motivated, which we already see. Your energy is really wonderful and strong. You are goal-oriented and strongly committed multitasking performer with proven track records in various businesses that you worked with before. So you mentioned that you are experienced in business development, strategic planning, communication, as well as project management and also customer service with proven effectiveness. So that's what you were talking about. I know because I went to your website. If you can give us an address if somebody wants to go on the web and just follow what we are talking about, I think this is the moment that we can give.
Okay. Yes, obviously, it's quite simple as the name nst.agency. That's it. Very simple.
That's very cool, but came from your mouth. So it's great. So everybody who is interested to talk to you, that's the best way to get to you.
It is, yeah.
And also, I know that you are located, obviously, in Warsaw, but you also are located in London. You have a place, physical place still in London. How does this work?
Well, it's simple. We the company that is behind the MST agency, well, there's a couple of companies behind the brand itself and the expertise. So we run two companies in the UK. One is based in Manchester, one is based in London. The one you most often go to is the London one. I don't really visit too much the one in Manchester, but we do have every now and then, obviously, the sit down with the board to discuss the usual stuff, to say, and obviously the place where everything works is UK. It's just really for me. I was wondering, do I want to move it to the Europe or not? But after spending 15 years in the UK, my heart goes with the UK in a way that I just want to be there for some strange reason. I don't know. I just my settlement status is already sorted, so I'm already a British settled person. After so many years, I could literally apply for the citizenship, but really wasn't bothered about it too much. Maybe it's wrong, but at some point, maybe I will apply for the passport. Anyway, after obviously passing the test, yeah, from the knowledge about the Britain. But Britain is a place where, whenever I go, I feel like being back home. Oh, despite I'm Polish citizen and being Pole from birth, somehow England and especially London is a very very emotional place for me. Whenever I go, I just see things that I absolutely love, including the fog and the rain. I don't mind. I just love it.
All right, I always question myself. Where is my home? I know my heart belongs to Poland, obviously. My soul too. I was born there and raised there and had a family there. So everything there always makes me dream that one day, I will be living in Poland, partially, and of course in London. But like I say, it's very similar. You never know where you feel like in home, and you don't know why you feel certain way about it. I mean, London is one of the most gorgeous and charming places that I ever visited. A lot of people complain about fog, about rain, about this and that. But to me, everything is magic. It's just, and I'm 1 year, so I think I can already say it how I feel. This is a really beautiful place to be. So I am very happy you feel the same way about this place. And my daughter also loves this, you know, loves London. So, you know, people think, yes, we are using very big words. We are talking about you being really knowledgeable in so many places. So the people say, how did you get to this place? So I would like to rewind a little your life and find out if you were, and I have, of course, your CV, so I can I can tell people. First and foremost, did you speak how many languages?
Oh, it was right. I've still used about six of them actively, but at some point there was a moment when I was able to read them about 16, but then I gave up on it. Yeah, it was just too time consuming sitting on it. But yeah, the proper use, I'd say four languages to be the standard, two extras to be able to communicate in a basic way so I don't get smashed in the face if I say something wrong. But that should do for the world for time being, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. But there are still a few on the list to do. So, you know, obviously.
Obviously, you have certain part of your brain that allows you to just accumulate the knowledge of languages. It's not easy to do that, but you are amazing in English. Your accent is beautiful. You really are beautiful.
Apparently, it's posh, they say, whatever that's supposed to mean. So I don't know, but it's, yeah.
Where this came from, like I said, I was almost 30 years in America and now I'm in England. I never lost my funky Eastern European accent. And I know that I tried, but I'm a musician, so I'm supposed to have better ear for that. So you are really very, very special man when it comes to that. So let's talk a little bit about your education. So you say that you are speaking six languages. I would like to mention a little bit outside of perfect Polish, perfect English. You have German, you claim Czech, and of course Latin, which means Spanish. So which one outside of English you feel the most comfortable with? And Polish.
German, to say. German. German is the language that I, for some strange reason, I do absolutely love. It's just, it's same as English, very precise, very technical. So if you want to, you know, speak in German, it's just very straightforward to say. Yeah, it just demands from you knowing different words. You can combine them into one word in the worst case scenario, but it's still at the end of the day, it's a very technical language that you can describe pretty much all the procedures, all the stuff that for me being backgrounded with the biotechnology and the science, it makes perfect sense to go along. Same with business. Business is very nameful sort of area of knowledge. So you've got in business the various names for different things. And if you apply them in a practical way, you can just easily switch over from different names to names. And same currently, because of the multi-language absorption of different areas, literally the English is influencing German in terms of different names. Obviously, Germans are trying to, you know, defend themselves and trying to stay with the German naming, but still the world banks are, for example, using the same language. And it's English language, despite whatever Germans want to. Because obviously, I gave up on French, because for some reason, French is not getting into my brain at all. And I just can't get over the French accent. No offense to friends, my friends from France, but it's just one of those things I just can't. I just can't. I don't know. The French is just not my language. Despite I had Latin at school, so I knew Latin. You know, the pure Latin. So I should be all right with French, but no, for some strange reason, the bits are just killing me.
No. It's very good to know that you cannot do something or you don't want to do something or you don't like to learn something. That's really good for me to know, okay, you cannot do something. That's great. So you're...
Yeah, of course.
Let's talk about your education. You were 18 years old, gentleman, right after high school in Poland, probably, or a little bit earlier. So you right away knew what will be your path in life, did you?
No, I had no clue. I had no clue. I had no idea. I was someone who wanted to go into sports, not really into education. My dad used to be the national volleyball player playing for the Polish national squad. So I wanted to follow him. He said, no, that's not good life because, you know, from sport comes not much at the time. In Poland, obviously today, volleyball is the national sport, a national, you know, world champions twice in a row. So, you know, Poland developed in that way. But in my age, I would be probably late for that stage to actually benefit from it. So actually, he convinced me to go the other path and sort of choose the wisdom side of things. And at the time, as I said, I had absolutely no idea which way to go. The language has been something that I've always felt that worked with me. So I was sent out for a trip just before my A-levels. I was sent out by my parents in the year before to go for a 3 month stay in Scotland and then 3 month stay in Scandinavia. So I've had a bits and bobs from those cultures, those languages. And when I came back to school, I just did my A-levels and I still didn't know what to do. So I just said, okay, let's move on and let's try to do something, anything. My math was horrible when I was finishing my primary school and then wanted to go to the secondary. So my math was really bad and I'm not good with digits. I can use the computer to calculate it for me. But if you ask me to apply a certain, I don't know, statement or I don't know, even Pythagoras, whatever, I can't remember those. But sorry, it might sound like I'm, you know, blunt with that, but I don't use the basic tools anymore. I just use the tools that have the solution built in so I can use and apply it in a practical way. So I'm more on the practical side than a theoretical side. So I was never interested in the career of looking for titles and the, you know, the science career in terms of trying to develop new algorithms or something. I was more about combining solution that will conclude and give us the solution by its own way of working, not necessarily studying that, or as we're doing now, we're just hiring people who are clever, and that's probably the best way to do it. I mean, I don't have to be that wisdom fool. It's better to have the right people to do the right jobs and work with them because they are just great people who know their job very well, so it's the best way of doing it. So yeah, and then after doing my L levels, I just said, right, okay, I'll go for the IT first. So I did the IT. It became too simple. So instead of staying there for the entire bachelor of studies, I did it like in 2 years instead of 3.5, because the individual way of study, I was granted by the dean, so he allowed me to study that faster. I went for the master's in it. So I finished the master's studies without doing the actual master's paper, because it was, again, doing the theoretical thing I wasn't interested in. So then I moved to do the economy and also the marketing and management. So I did these as well, also without the master paper. Then I'm a little bit sorry for that, but never mind. I just at least had the knowledge and I finished the study. So I went through the process, including law, the basics of management and all the principles. So that was all done in Poland, in Łódź, where I'm from originally. And then I moved to the UK. And when I moved to the UK, first thing I did, I ended up in Wales and I went straight to the University of Glyndŵr. At that time, now it's called, I think it's called now Newry because they changed the name. By the time it was a Glyndŵr University, I went there, did the introduction to the British culture, did the presentation and acting skills course, and I think that's it. That should be enough for now. Yeah, that was enough. And well, in educational way, I never stopped learning because I went to hundreds of courses, trainings related to IT management, different specs. But I could talk about that for years. But if someone really is interested, they can just pop over my LinkedIn profile and it's all there. So I don't have a problem sharing that. Recently, LinkedIn just disallowed me to put any more trainings in because I've used all the spaces available on that platform for it. So that's kind of fun.
Amazing about you. Yes, of course. I went there and I checked all the links and I was like amazed. I'm like, I see how you really are driven by knowledge. I see how you are almost like a black horse. You want to be ahead of something, running, because I don't know if you like to switch industries or you want to just learn everything from many of them. So when you have a client from different part of the, of course, business, you can see from every corner of your mind. And most of people who only study one thing, they just are direct and they don't see around, you know. So I think you are a very creative person. So you probably have very happy clients. So again, I am almost, I love knowledge. Of course, I am well educated too. My children, both children also. So I think your parents must be very, very proud of you when it comes to this path. you are very well educated, gentlemen. So now you are in UK and probably you are a few years there. Your English is getting amazing. You didn't get the Welsh accent. God, thank you. But so you needed to pick an industry. You needed to pick something that you need. Everybody needs to pick something in the beginning. So what was the first professional, first home for your brain and for your creativity that you can say, okay, I can breathe, I can start to be my own businessman and I start seeing what I want to do and, you know, where this life will lead me.
So it was going back to roots, really. At the time before I went out from Poland to the UK, I was dealing with, it was the cardiology clinic in Łódź. So I was responsible for digitizing it because it was still in the old age. And one of the projects I was leading over there was just a complete transformation. And so it was sort of on what I love to do. So as I said, it was the medicine, the bioscience, and then the technology to support it. So literally that was the job of the dream. We did it. And then I said, like, okay, what's the next challenge? And when I moved to the UK, I first wanted to go with a brand new high-tech technology. And I ended up in the British Aerospace in Magellan. So I was there responsible for managing the sort of communication between the clients of that company. That wasn't my business. I was hired for them to work with their clients to actually, they are the parts manufacturer for aircraft. So the big A380s and the other, you know, planes, they do some parts for the aviation industry. And I was hired for them to work with one of the accounts on the Bombardier side and the Embraer, the manufacturers of airplanes. At the same time, I was doing a little bit of work with the Airbus, the big A380, and designing the wing grips, wing tips and for them. So that was a kind of nice thing that I could see a plane and I said, like, yeah, they got some parts that I had done.
Start to be a pilot? Did you start learning how to fly then?
Not then. No. That was later. That was a little bit late. That was the engagement in the aviation industry. But later on, it came to me like, okay, now designing, it's one thing, but actually it would be nice to be able to fly with those things. So, yeah, but we get that. And then I said, like, I finished the project for them, and the 2008, the big crisis came. You know, all everything started to shut down and then the aviation industry was going down. And then literally they had no more orders and the piles of backlog has been burned out. So they wanted to reduce the staff in the factories. And as I was managing over 1,500 people over there, they just wanted to fire majority of them. So I said, like, look, I'll quit. I'll finish that project because it was really done. I didn't need to stay there as a manager any longer. So give my wages to someone else to stay who's been living, working there. I can move to the next sort of industry. And this is what I've done. So I went through that and from there. And I, for the moment, I've stopped to my very old hobby. That was the photography. So that was the photography. And a friend of mine, he had a shop in Chester, that's North England already. So no longer Wales, but North England, just on the border with Wales. And he said to me, like, look, okay, I've got a shop with jewellery, we do weddings, we do stuff. Do you want to, you know, help out, do some photography for us? So I literally grabbed the cameras and started to run, like, events, you know, doing everything myself. So when taking the pictures of people, of rings, of stuff, of events, and so on. So that was a sort of breakout. Yeah.
Makes you a human. That was the coolest things ever when I discovered about you. Because like I said, I know how smart, I know how busy you were, I know how educated you are, I know how focused you were on everything what you were doing with clients and marketing and studying and being in this country, that country. You were young, you were, you know, probably in 30s when all of this was happening. I know in moment in time for all of us, we are feeling burned out. In a way. So I really think outside of situation that you describe and people losing jobs and you just giving your job or your pension to somebody that maybe needed more and your management skills, you said, I need to take a break. You just went back to your creativity because you are very human being and learning. And I hope people are listening. There is nothing wrong with that to take a break sometimes to try to, or rebuild your own strength and peace in you, or just go there to your own soul and say, I am also this person. So why not? And somebody will say, how somebody like you can take a break and go back to photography, to make a, you know, wedding people. Yeah. Just even I know you don't like to talk maybe about this, but I know you have some acting skills and you always are always great looking gentleman. And so something of that was in you, the creative, be creative, art creative part in you wanted to also discover yourself. So how long was the break between the business, and running, building, then tiring, something was crashing, and then you took a breather? How long?
Yes. Actually, it wasn't that long. I was nicely surprised, because in the meantime, when I was doing the photography, a friend of mine from China approached me. He actually was a customer of that jewelry guy, and we just talked in the shop when I was doing the pictures. They were buying for their wedding, the wedding ring, so with the diamonds and everything, and we've been talking about you know, how to take the pictures of it. Do they want me to take the pictures? But then they started asking me what's my background. I said, it's IT and so on and so on. And he invited me to join him on a platform that he was developing. It was called British Software Solutions. So getting into the designing the software for people, it was a platform about EU services that is now a part of the EU registration scheme for the citizens who are applying for a visa when they immigrants from outside. So it was at the time just a concept that we started. I think it was, I can't remember the year, but it was something like 2007, maybe 2008, maybe that year. And that was in the meantime. So I went back to the basics that I knew from the ground up since I was studying, from the computers, IT. And at the same time, I was focusing on my photography. That was just feeding the clients. I didn't have to think about how to get those clients in because they were just there, because it was a jewelry shop. The clients were always there. I didn't have to think about it. I just been offering them services. And this is how it all built up. And it took about 7-8 months till I said, like, okay, I'm recharged. I've met hundreds or even thousands of new people, right? Great people. My LinkedIn contact is currently about 12,000 contacts, and it's mainly because of that. My database on LinkedIn is 12,000 something. I used to have 3 Facebook accounts because only each one only allowed you for 5,000 friends. And because the people have been so open, they wanted to talk. They liked what I've done. So they've been just coming back and back and back and back. So we eventually became friends on Facebook, on LinkedIn. So this is how I grew the huge, you know, database of friends or people I know in general. So after those 8-9 months, I said, like, okay, let's try to do something great. Time to do, you know, this is nice. This is sort of producing the state of the current, and I'm recording those bits for people, but I'm not producing anything new, not adding anything to the world. And then I met a Polish doctor who was running a medical practice in Manchester, and we sort of tied up through trying to get them to help to move the medicine part, because they were good with medical bits, but they were horrible on the IT side, management style and everything. And because I was doing the IT in Poland for the cardiology clinic, so I knew pretty much everything, how to combine those bits and bobs into a system to support a medical practice. And that's how I started to work with them. Then at about half a year, they decided they can't run the medical bits because they can't afford. So I just said, like, look, okay, let's do it this way. I'll take it over and I'll start to run it myself, because I've seen that potential there. They were just tired. They were based in London. We've been in Manchester. So it was a little bit of hectic thing and very hard for them to try to travel back and forth. They didn't have a budget to employ me full time on a wages as a medical manager for them. And at the time I did miss a couple of trainings to become a qualified one. So I just said, like, look, I'm going to invest it in myself and I'm going to do it myself, but you just give me the practice and that's it. So this is what we've done, really. They sort of rented me the place and I've started to run it myself. At some point when they've seen the potential that was growing, so this is what often happens in business, they decided, they want it actually back. Okay, so they took it back, but at the time I had enough capital to start my own. So what I did, I just started my own medical practice and became the competitor for them in the same area. All the doctors that I worked with, they'd actually enjoyed working with me. So they came along to work with me, and that's what it took me last 9 years. So I was in that, you know, for 9 years running a medical practice, hiring doctors, mainly the Polish origin, who've been actually registered to work legally in the UK. But that was a polyclinic. So we had 21 doctors and 27 specialties, and that was running 7 days a week. So that was a tremendous effort. But at the other hand, it was very, very satisfying, because I could do the IT bits, managerial bits, you know, infrastructure bits. I had all the newest technology, you know, ultrasounds, I don't know, scanners, x-rays, whatever. So I had all the gadgets that boys love. So I can combine that finally. And then the doctor's been applying the knowledge, the wisdom to actually help people do something. And this is how I found myself doing something good. So that lasts for 9 years. Then the legislation in the UK changed and we decided that we're gonna shut it down or sell it. So we went on the market, we got rid of it, and then I decided to switch. In the meantime, however, as you were asking when I became the pilot, in the meantime, because the clinic was literally about 500 yards away from the St. John's Ambulance Airport. Their helicopters have been stationing there. So they've been quite often asking for our doctors if they can help them for, like, there was an accident on the motorway with a Polish person. So they wanted one of the Polish-speaking doctors to get on board of it on the chopper and fly with them to the accident side. So this was something that got me first to get interested in the airfield. And then on the airfield, I've seen all those small planes. And the guy said to me, like, oh, do you want to have a test fly? And I went there, had a test fly. And what was amazing, I was granted as a voucher to fly with. Because I was interested in that, and I was granted a voucher. And then I flew that plane, and in the mid-air, the lady just said to me, like, well, now you're in charge. I was like, what? It was like, you know, we're flying and with a small plane. She said, like, you're in charge. And she took her hands off the side stick. And I said, like, oh my gosh, what I'm doing, yeah? And then literally I started to feel the plane, how it behaves. And she said, like, okay, give some more extra gas. So I speed up, slow down, you know, going up and down. And so I said, oh my gosh, I love it. I love it. And since then, I just did the whole license, the PPR. I just fell in love. So daily task was running the medical practice. Off time was literally getting on the plane and trying to fly and put those hours on and so on. So yeah, the medicine got me into through helping getting the doctors to fly. I got my interest in flying, and then I realized I absolutely love it, and this is how it started.
I just love your life story. I hope, again, people stop for the moment and they recognize that we are talking with Michał Dybowski, who is the Chief Executive Officer at NST.Agency. We are talking about your life, which is so colorful and is so humanly uplifting, because you are showing us with all your ups and downs and changes and turns and, you know, travels and different businesses, how life can be amazing if you really, with this beautiful smile, you really open your heart and brain and say, okay, the next person who comes to my life can really turn my life into different directions. You have a lot of people that like you for probably right reason. So, you know, every person that you meet, you probably are also wanting to learn their life story. So in the moment when, I don't know, your destiny brings you another person, like the people in a jewelry store that took you here, then, you know, the doctors, organizing doctors, Polish doctors took you there, then flying took you there. It's really, really very, very beautiful, almost film-like story of the very smart gentleman who I hope people really are interested to listening to how you speak and your life story. I'm just very excited about know you. So now we are in 2020, yes? 20th, you left 1 year ago.
That was 2018 when I finished with the clinic.
So you probably were still between UK and Poland, then you decided that you want to be back at Poland probably.
2018 became a moment when we got rid of the clinic, so it was shut down. I mean, sold. And then, obviously, it was shut down by the current owners. Don't know why, but it's their choice. But for me, I was still trying to find out something interesting in relation to the aviation. So I found in Poland a post for a contract with the Polish air navigation service provider. And they've been looking for a strategy expert to help them to design the strategy for Polish airspace and strategy for Polish aviation management. That was a supportive role. That wasn't the head chief, but obviously everything needs to start somewhere. So I applied, and apparently I was the only one. Well, no, there was two of us candidates for that job, and I was planning on coming Poland from the UK. He was just about 60 miles away from Warsaw, and he said it's too far for him to travel.
To travel. Wrong person, gone, bye. Okay, you got a job. Again, you know, it's so funny.
Yes, I did, yeah.
Whatever you do, you are bringing to another businesses, type of businesses, but everything you can really apply, what you were doing in the past with medical special field, now you are in a aviation field, organizing their staff and working on their marketing, you know, expanding their own vision, and you bring your own ideas. And this is what you are doing right now? Is this what you are still
doing? Yes, well, not really, no. That's not what I'm doing. I'm sort of still a consultant for the company because I finished that contract after 9 months. In the meantime, however, while I came back to Poland, a friend of mine approached me from many years ago. He's an ex-military. And he said, like, look, I'm running a company that is running different projects for military, for defense, for new technology, for biocomponents. I said, all right, bring me on. So I became his appointed director of international affairs. And that was the WTI company. And I worked with Andrew till I think this year's February. So we've been running different projects on different areas, literally trying to find a basic concept in the defense industry. And that was the construction, defense, and medical. And also aviation, especially on the drone side. And I was sort of getting my knowledge from the legislation that I was just benefiting from working for this NSP, so air navigation provider, the PANS. And I was getting my knowledge of legislation of the applications for the future projects with my friend's company. So this is how it's all been combined. And later on, when we decided to stop doing that, and I went more on the climate and the environment project side, because it's more to the bioscience that I was in. So I was trying, looking for a solution that IT can support and trying to sustain something, you know, just so again, going towards creating something big in terms of finding a solution that can help the world to go back a couple of years from the pollutions, from everything. So at some point it started to interest me so much. Because I, over the past years in the clinic, I've seen people who suffered from the climate change in terms of how their body started to react, what diseases has been developed. And I've seen it all my own eyes when I was in the clinic. So I said, like, there is an actual problem in the world about how the food is manufactured, how everything is stored, how the climate has changed, what is affecting our skin, our air, our water, everything. So I just understood, like, this is an important thing to do, is trying to get into that area somehow with my backgrounds on the IT, medicine, bioscience, maybe even a defense technology, you know, because you never know, new materials, new bits, they can always help. And when we finished that, I'm now went back to doing something for myself, and that was literally the NST agency. So I've got still all those businesses that I work with is a panel of different either investors or sources of knowledge that I keep them around. And I always can resonate with them, trying to look from their perspective what they need on the market. And then I provide them with a different solution. So this is how the NST agency evolves. So from those old markets, all that background, all those people who I worked with over the years, added in people, you know, who I took a picture of, people who actually bought a wedding ring, people who been patients to the clinic I was managing, or they were actually a doctor who I'm now, for example, helping to work in Australia, you know, because as I said, Australia is now on board, so we're getting the doctors from the UK. They are now able, through our company, to work in Australia if they want to. So, you know, nice place, lots of surfing. If you want to, it's almost like California, you know.
That is a very unusual way of living a life because, like I say, you are almost accumulating amazing contacts through the years that in the end they are expanding. When you need another project, you know how to bring back people that you met through the life and you know that they will be helpful. They will need this project. They will need, you know, you just, like you say, having 12,000 people here and there and social media and everything and people that you knew and worked for, that's a really, really so busy, brain busy a lifestyle that not so many people can handle. A lot of people just like peace, like a small, like they want to know what they do today, tomorrow, next day. You really are free soul. You are just free spirit, and you, whatever interests you and whatever really leads you somehow, somewhere by your destiny, because you cannot predict anything when you say your life, you were really like not predicting what would be the next step. Something else came to your life and then you were changing your life to this direction. Yeah. So I think you need to have a lot of courage and creativity and self trust, you know, because a lot of people couldn't take it. They will have heart attack on every 9 months, even when you are a consultant to so many different businesses too. So this is not easy. You are really getting paid when you bring resolution to the people. So they can get you heart attack also. And you have this also love for Poland, a love for changing something in people's life for better. And I'm going, because we almost are done with our show today, and I'm already sorry to say that, but I am so happy. I know that you have another position as a chairperson in Polish Council for Britain, and I don't know if this is something that you started 2-3 years ago and you are still working on, but could yes. you tell us a little bit about your love for Polish issues and how to help Polish people in Britain. So that's what you are. You are chairperson for Polish Council for Britain. You are chairman, head of marketing strategy and international cooperation, and you are co-founder for that. So could you describe us what you are doing there and where this came from? And yeah, who can contact you or who if needs in need of help.
Right, the Polish Council for Britain was an idea started still when the clinic was running, because we had people who came to us asking, like, do you know, what should I do? Like, I have a problem with my, I don't know, son, that the person is disabled. I don't know where to apply and how to do things. So we found a group of lawyers in the UK, Polish origin lawyers who had either their own running practice, or they've been actually working for someone. And we combined their knowledge on what the most common cases are. And that's for, we tied up with them in three areas. So we tied up on the Polish Council for Britain was set up like a medical support, legal support, and the educational support. And that was mainly driven by the Polish type of schools being around the UK, but they've been not adequately training at the same level. So there were a couple of issues with that. And we wanted to help our embassy in London to try and to level everything up so it makes a one single standard. So then the big picture and the big idea in it is to bring the Polish language as an ability to pass an A level in every British school. That was the big thought on the educational side. And that required a little bit of work, and this is still an ongoing project. So answering your previous questions, yes, I'm still running that project, to say, because the Polish Council for me is a project. We're trying to achieve something very concrete. And the legal side has been now spread into different places. So we are the point of contact. So if someone's got an issue, we send them the link, right? This is in this area, this is the legal entity where you can look for help, and they can help you and support you. In terms of medicine, because the new owners of the clinic, they shut it down, so we couldn't really help that much, but we still advise people on the procedures, how to do it in Britain. And the only thing that left over there is still helping the doctors to get the registration if they want to become an acting practitioner in the UK. So the Polish Council is doing that, and they're helping the doctors who are from Poland, Eastern Europe, anyone really, to register in the UK to become an active practitioner. Now, the new bit that also developed last year, 2019, was we have signed with Politechnika Śląska in Gliwice. We have signed a contract to, and I'll listen to that, to recruit students from UK for studying aviation, either as a pilot or engineers in Poland. Now, why we did that? Two reasons. I love it. So I was opting for it, and I was sort of pressing for it. That's a great idea. So people can now apply from anywhere from the UK. Well, actually, we are entitled to recruit from anywhere. So if we've got a student from, I don't know, Israel, and they want to learn, we can do it. If they want to do it from the South Africa, come aboard. If they want from the US, yeah, no problem with that. Now, what will happen, they will gain a dual titles when they finished. And that's a unique way of approaching it, because they're not only going to end up with a license either as a pilot or engineer, it depends which path they want to go, but they will also end up with a bachelor's in a transport industry study. So they can continue their education on master's and then doctorate status if they want to. So if someone, for example, became at one day a pilot, right? So they got the license, but they got a title as well. And then they decide, oh, they don't want to fly anymore. Or we've got a pandemic, so they can't fly. What they can do, they can go back to school to teach people or be a part of sort of industry in a way that they can sustain their job despite they've been, for example, fired or grounded from flying or from maintaining aircraft. So the dual studies, it's an absolute novum that we could offer now in two languages. It's in Polish and in English. Obviously, the ones that are in Polish, they are free of charge because it's a national studies. And they are for EU citizens. But as England is going into Brexit, they will not longer qualify for the free studying. So that's why we went one step ahead. And last year, we just get that in place. And we actually now looking for advocates for this project. It's a long, loud shot now myself through your support here that we actually are looking for people who want to help us to get students just that in Poland. And you know, first semester, anyway, it's a remote, so you don't need to move from their homes, and that's very comfortable. And the next ones are obviously done in Poland in the facility that we've got. And this is the entire opportunity. This is an opportunity for someone who's based in the UK to become the head of that recruitment process, and under the Polish Council for Britain umbrella, we can offer that. So that's definitely ongoing project right now. We think it's a future.
I need to stop you because if people are listening and they dream about to get to this program, if they are from UK or from another country, or even people who are listening and they're in Poland and they would love to do that. And you mentioned Gliwice, my hometown. That's where I was born and that's when I was educated, and Politechnika Śląska, which I am so proud of this institution. So I'm really now, my heart is beating for you. And so anybody who would like to get in contact with you, if they want to learn aviation, if they want to be part of engineering growth, or then, like you said, all this program is available for them in two languages, Polish and English. So how and where to find you, how to contact you, where they need to go to?
Of course. It's basically the website of the Polish Council for Britain. So it's polish-council.com. That's it. It's website over there. Every detail is in there. There's a link called Study in Poland, and they just go and they can either obviously there are more links, so they can become one of the partners, one of the affiliates. We get our own programs running for people who want to advocate for the idea. So that's one of the options. Remind me just to send you one link for yourself, so you can just join.
I like to work on the earth, but I love to help people who dream to reach to the stars. And I know of a few wonderful young people who just are crazy about aviation and they don't even know where to go to study further. I happened there in Krakow. I will share this information with my friends in Krakow, if it's possible, also to send them your way. Oh my gosh, I am so, so overwhelmed in a good way by our conversation. You really, really have a lot of things going on in your life, and you are like the most positive human being that I met in my life. But the energy, of course, and the brain power and the creativity, and just, you know, like I say, your ups and little bit downs, and then taking life from this corner, that corner, and you just make the best of it, and still with this amazing smile on your face. So I know that we gave people hopefully amazing interview with amazing human being. Again, you are, I want to say again, your wonderful title. We are talking to Michael Dybowski, Chief Executive Officer at MST Dat Agency. So if any future client who wants your brain, wants your people who work for you to just hire as a consultancy or on a project or whatever they want, they need to go again to website, which you said is very simple. That is?
MST.agency.
That's so simple. Oh my gosh, Michał. Thank you. I'm so happy to know you. And I'm sure when we'll be in Warsaw and when you'll be in London, we eventually meet in person. And if I can be of any help as an accent on show, which obviously is almost focusing on people with an accent, people who are coming from another countries, and they make the best of the life in an unusual situation in another country. And of course, now when I'm in London, Polish life stories are like something that is the closest to my heart. So if you feel like you want to reach out again to public, or if you have somebody that is supposed to know and talk about, or if you need to promote something that people need to know about, I'm here. I will be serving Accent on London Edition on LA Talk Radio. Is here to talk to you always. So for now, thank you so much, Michał Dybowski.
Thank you very much. Thank you all listeners as well.
At MST.agency. And again, if anybody wants to be future client, a pilot and learning about aviation, go to, can you give us this link one more time?
Polish, it's www.polish-council.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
And thank you.
Also from us. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.